Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Prophet Jeremiah. Men, what would you do if your wife cheated on you, but said she was sorry when confronted with proof of her infidelity? Then she went on to commit adultery again and again and again. This was the position God found himself in with the people of Judah. They were married to the Lord, but they had turned to the devil instead. The people of Judah were steeped in idolatry, but God was willing to take them back if they repented. God had divorced himself from the northern kingdom of Israel, but her treacherous sister, Judah, had no fear of God and continued whoring while she pretended to repent. God also spoke about a restoration that would take place sometime in the future when the 10 northern tribes would be reunited with Judah and Benjamin. Jerusalem would be restored and become the capital of God, and all the nations of the world will worship there. Jesus is coming back someday to set up his kingdom, but in the meantime, people are dying and ending up in hell simply because they were not born again. This message is entitled, Fake Repentance. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm very happy to have you here today. And I got to mention this. This is July 1st, 2018. And I want to speak just a couple of minutes to all the people we have on YouTube. We have thousands of people that tune us in on YouTube. And then we have thousands of other people that tune in to our website. But for some reason, our YouTube people do not feel like, you know, they want to help out with finances. So I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about this. And, you know, of a couple of thousand people, three or four people simply said, no, hey, I'm watching on YouTube, you know, we want to support you. And that's great. But, you know, we could be 500. And let me tell you why I'm asking for that. Our equipment right now that we have here is more than 10 years old. Cameras, computers, mixers, and so on. We bought that 10 years ago. And you do know this, that the electronics usually don't last over 5 or 6 years. So we know that we are living on borrowed times. You like to watch us? Well, we need to start saving money to replace this. Because we're talking about when we set this up 10 years ago, we paid $40,000. That's 10 years ago. Inflation, everything else, much more. So if you would watch it on YouTube, you like what you hear, you want to hear more, would you consider sending a gift and simply saying, I'm watching you, here's some money, and I will support you so you can keep on doing what you're doing. Thank you very much. The message I'm going to preach on today is called Fake Repentance. And there's a lot of fake repentance in the world today. This morning, I was watching First Baptist Church from Dallas, Robert Jeffrey. And I've been talking about here, you know, for pastors not standing up. And I want to say this. I'm really impressed by Robert Jeffrey. He's probably about 60, 65 years old. Little guy, Southern Baptist, but a fireball. He is a personal friend of President Trump. When President Trump went to Israel to open up the embassy there, now he didn't go there, but when he sent his daughter there, Robert Jeffrey went there and prayed. And, of course, the liberals said, you know, how can you have this guy there? He's no good. he's saying this, that Jews go to hell if they don't have Jesus, and Mormons go to hell if they don't have Jesus. Well, that's the truth. He was there anyway. He has the ear of President Trump. He's often in the White House. And he had an outstanding sermon today where he simply said, it is time to repent. And I'm so happy that there are more pastors. This is a prominent pastor. There are many others. So this message today is about repentance and what we need to do as a nation. So let's begin by turning to Deuteronomy chapter 24. And we're going to study chapter 3 of Jeremiah today. I'm in the book of Jeremiah. And God had given Moses a specific commandment regarding marriage. If you marry somebody, later you divorce that person, you marry somebody else, that person you divorce or they die, you cannot go back to your first spouse. This is a spiritual law, moral law, that Jesus had. And we're going to read it here. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement, and gives it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after she is defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and shall not cause the land to sin, which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance. This is the law that God simply set up, that if you marry, divorce, and somebody dies, you cannot go back to your first spouse. God said that's confusion. It defies the land. And of course today, very few people pay attention to this particular law. Matter of fact, we shouldn't divorce at all. And Jesus said that, they asked Jesus, though, why did God give Moses the right to have people to divorce? And Jesus said, for their hardness sake, for the hardness of their heart. But it was not so from the beginning. Amen. If you now turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 1, and the reason that Jeremiah is quoting this law is because he wants to show what happened to Judah, the nation of Judah. And in 3:1 we read, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him, become another man's wife, should he return to her again, shall not the land be greatly polluted, but you have played a harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, says the Lord. God is saying thus, I have been married to the nation of Judah. She's been my wife. But she divorced me. She went out and simply became a whore and began to have adultery, worshiped other gods. And she went away from me. Should I take her back? And God is simply saying here that God will have mercy on Judah. Now, a lot of things that happened to Judah. Let's read verse number 2. Lift up your eyes unto the high places, and see where you have not been lying with, in the ways you set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. You have polluted the land with your whoredoms and with your wickedness. So God said now to the kingdom of Judah, you have committed adultery, spiritual adultery. You polluted your land. As a result, I am judging you. Verse number 3. Therefore, the showers, the rain, have been withholden. There's been no latter rain. And you had a whore's forehead. You refused to be ashamed. God simply said this. I have used the weather to judge you. In the Bible, either withholding the rain, giving too much rain, bringing drought, heat, cold, these are judgments that God is using. Take a look today, later on tonight, on the weather situation in the United States. I've been talking about this now for a long time. Today, we have a huge heat wave, and it's covering a large portion of the United States. During the night, up in Iowa and some other places, Midwest, they had rain come down 6 inches, 7 inches, floods. Some people got killed. Lots of things destroyed. Tornadoes. Every day, from coast, actually from the Florida up to Canada, up here to the Midwest, disaster. Now, we do know that people have been trying to do weather modification and so on, and you got the HARP system. But I want to tell you something right now. I don't care if you agree or disagree with me. I believe that God is simply saying this. I want your attention. And I want it now. Things are not going to be like they always have been. At the same time, God has opened up a fantastic door for the United States to have a way changed. Another Supreme Court judge for President Trump to nominate. Do you know that every year 1.3 million children are killed in a Planned Parenthood abortion mills and other abortion mills? 1.3 million children are killed every year. Now, Schumer, Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, and all the other bleeding hearts, all talking about we got to preserve Roe versus Wade, but I can't remember what now. It just fell on my mind. But the abortion that they took in 1973. These bleeding hearts are crying about children being separated at the border. Yeah. But they couldn't care less for killing 1.3 million babies a year. That's fine. Amen. Not only did they kill them, but some of the bodies, quite a few of the bodies, are sold off. And they make cosmetics of them. And a lot of cosmetics that women are putting on today are from dead babies. They've done that for about 20 years now. And God is simply saying this. I am opening a door. Last night, I woke up, and I was wrestling with the Lord in prayer, and I realized this. Satan is too big for me. I cannot rebuke the devil. Only God can rebuke him. And we need to pray now like we've never prayed before. Because, you see, all hell has broken loose. Every lunatic right now, it doesn't matter who they bring up as a new Supreme Court judge. They're going to try to smear, destroy, and what they call Bork them. There was a man by the name of Bork that tried to be the Supreme Court judge a few years ago. Upright man. And they maligned him to the max. Satan is not nice. His people are not nice. If you want to see his spokesperson, Maxine Waters, is a poster girl from a representative from hell speaking for the devil. So God said, therefore the showers have been withholden. There be no light of rain. And you had a whore's forehead. You refused to be ashamed. Will you not from the time cry to me, My Father, you are the guide of my youth. God is simply saying here, are you ready to repent? God asked a rhetorical question here in verse number 5. Will God reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken on the evil things as you couldest. Is God going to have mercy? Or is it going to be judgment for us as a nation? There are millions of Christians in America. Because of us, the judgment has been held back. But we need to start pushing now. And the only way to really change America is to lead people to Christ. If every one of you that are watching today or in the chapel, if you would lead one person to Christ per year, everybody doing that, we could have this nation saved in a year. But you know what? Most of you watching me never led anyone to Christ in 2017. Not one. Matter of fact, most Christians never lead anyone to Christ. The soul winners are few. You pray for people. You give money. You go to church. You do a lot of different things. But we are not producing new babies. Amen. That's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on leading people to Christ. In verse number 6, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She's gone upon every high mountain, every green tree, and there has played the harlot. Jeremiah was a young prophet, probably in his early 20s, when King Josiah started his reform. Let's turn to 2 Kings, chapter 17. The 2 Kings, chapter 17, in verse number 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord, their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, had walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly do things which were not right against the Lord their God. They built them high places in all their cities, for the tower and the watchmen to defend the city. And they set up their images and groves at every high hill, under every green tree, where they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said to them, you shall not do the thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn you from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I command your fathers, which I said to you by the servant the prophets. Notwithstanding, they will not hear, but hard their necks, like the neck of their fathers. They did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes, his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies, which is testified against them. And they followed vanity, became vain, and went after heathen. They were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them, they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made them molten images, even two calves, made a grove, worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. This is when they worshipped the Moloch. They had these big statues, like a fat Buddha, that were heated up, had arms in the front like a ledger. And there during the worship, the men and women would come up and take their children, lay them on this hot, burning image. And they would fry them, kill them. And they would do that with hundreds and thousands of children. Every family had to sacrifice one of the children. Today we don't sacrifice like that. Today we kill them in the abortion clinics. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. What do we have here in the United States today? We have a lot of places. You got whorehouses. You got movie houses. You got video games. You got pornography. Many families have set up altars in their homes. They have their videos. They're watching the pornography, hardcore stuff. It's very common, husband and wives, to simply in the privacy of the bedroom watch women and men fornicate, commit adultery. They try to copy them. We do a lot of things. Gambling, adultery, fornication. How many teenagers, when they reach the age of 18, have not had sex without being married? How many of them have been drugs, smoking, drinking? If you look upon our nation, it's a destruction right across the board. Amen. And at the same time, you watch the commercials, drugs, do this, do that, advertisement, sin more, do more. God simply said this, Jeremiah, remember what I did to the northern kingdom. Back to Jeremiah now, chapter 3, verse number 7. And I said, after she had done all the things, turn you to me. But she turned not. And the treacherous sister Judah saw it. Can you imagine now? I want you to stand up. Think. God took the 12 tribes out of Egypt. Raised up Moses. Brought them out to the promised land. And said, I love you. I want to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. We could have a good time. Worship me. Walk with me. He says, you're the apple of my eyes. I love you. And after so many years, a few hundred years, God said, that's it. That's it. The 10 northern tribes were taken captives, spread out in all the nations. They lost their homes. They lost everything. They lost their inheritance. Did they care? Yes, they cared. Once they had been taken captive and walked away, then they cared. The sad thing is, people would not repent until it is too late. And disaster has already fallen. When God divorced himself from the kingdom of Israel, a treacherous sister Judah saw what happened. But she had no fear of God and continued whoring. Verses 8 to 9. And as Saul went for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and I put her away and gave her a bill of divorcement. Yet the treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the length of her whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adulteries with stones and with stocks. Now, the people in Judah had seen what happened to Israel. But they were blinded. Idolatry is very addictive. And it continued. Last week, we read about this soccer team in Thailand. The coach and a group of young men had been playing soccer. They wanted to have an adventure. And they got into a cave system. And they disappeared. I think the cave system is about 60 miles wide. The rain came down. I don't think they ever got them out. What will make a person so stupid that you take 11 or 12 boys, 13 or 14 years old, and go into a cave system that you know is unsafe and wander around in there? That's insanity. I mean, you know, you got to be mentally ill to do that. And yet, our nation, we are sinning, and we don't even care. In verse number 10, and yet for this, her treacherous sister Judah had not turned to me with her whole heart, but faintly, says the Lord. In other words, Judah says, the people said, oh yeah, we want to repent, we want to do this and that. But it was not genuine. It was fake. And in most churches today in America, people are not really repenting. Let me ask you this. People go to church. We know this. Today, 50 million Americans will attend church. One type of a church or other. 50 million. 50 million should make a difference in the world. But Monday is going to be the same as Friday. No change. You got 50 million people going to church. You think that they would have an impact upon the world, but it has no impact. Because when people go to church, they don't think about repentance. They don't think about praying for the nation. They simply have a good time. They like the music. They like this and that. Of course, you got the coffee and the donuts at the church now. You got all kind of different things. And it's just one big entertainment. And that's exactly what happened to Judah. In verse 11, and the Lord said to me, the backsliding Israel had justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. God said, at least Israel did not try to fake it. They continued to sin until I struck them. Judah is trying to speak it out a little bit, you know. And I really hate that more. Either be cold or hot. Jesus said in Revelation, those that are lukewarm, I will spew out. If you're going to sin, sin. Don't try to have a fake repentance. And if you're going to repent, give up the sin and walk with the Lord. You can't walk in two ditches. You're either with the Lord or you're not with the Lord. Now we're going to look upon the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. And this is a tragedy that I really want you to see right now. In verses 12 and 14 here, we read this. Go and proclaim these words to the north and say, return your backsliding Israel, says the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, says the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever, and only acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, has scattered the ways of the strength of every green tree. You have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and to a family, and will bring you to Zion. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, have them to repent, but they've already in captivity. He was speaking about future generations. The people that lived at that time of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and Benjamin and Judah in the south, almost all these people perished and died in their sins and went to hell. At the bottom of my outline, page 1, this promise to the northern kingdom of Israel was not the generation which lived at this time, but a message of what God will do in the future. This promise is for the remnant that will be restored in the end times. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 10. It's Isaiah chapter 10. And to see what will happen here in the future. Isaiah 10, verses 20 to 23. For though your people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet the remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. God said, now yes, I will have mercy, but only a remnant will I bring back. In Isaiah 14:1, we read the following. For the Lord have mercy on Jacob, and will yet chose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. This was spoken that 2,700 years ago. Has it happened yet? No, it hasn't happened yet. Turn out to Romans chapter 9. Romans 9:25. And as he says also in Hosea, or actually Isaiah, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also cries concerning Israel, to the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. What does that mean? That for 2,700 years, 99% of the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel have been born on earth, lived their lives, died in their sins, and are in hell waiting for the judgment, the great white throne judgment seat, and waiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. Let's slow down now. I want this to sink in now. God's heart is broken. He brought out 3 million Israelites out of Egypt. Over the centuries, there's been several hundred million of them now. And the majority of the people that God loved refused to repent, refused his Messiah, and are today shackled, burning in hell, no future, and waiting for the lake of fire. That's an awful thought. Now, you have the Christian Zionists. And the Christian Zionists say, you know, God is doing something great right now. He restored Israel. You know, he's going to get Israel all saved. He is going to restore them in the future. But it's going to be a remnant. A small remnant of the hundreds of millions of them lived on this earth. Yes. We need to start rethinking. If you really love the Jewish people, give them the gospel. Amen. Share with them Jesus Christ. Amen. If you love other people and not saved, share the gospel. In Isaiah chapter 43, and people like to talk about this, you know, this is great. It is great for those people that make it. But not a whole lot of people are going to make it in there. Isaiah chapter 43. If you pick it up here. From verse 5 and 6. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring you seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. God said, yes, I will bring back a remnant. 2,700 years after this was given, many generations later, a remnant will be saved. In Isaiah chapter 9, we get a prophecy about Jesus. And I want to read here from verse number 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, but the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, and with justice, from henceforth ever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus came. The Messiah came. What did they do? They tried to kill the body of Jesus. Herod tried to kill him. Finally, the Jewish leadership crucified him. They had the Romans do it. They didn't want to do the dirty job themselves. They had the Romans do it. The Messiah came, and they rejected him. In Isaiah chapter 11, a lot of people like this chapter. And if you are saved, you're going to see this. If you're born again, you're going to be part of this. And we read here from 11 verses 1 through 9. And there shall come forth a rod on the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Talk about Jesus now. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then during this time, look at this, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leper shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion are fatting together, and another child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice then. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea. It's going to come a great time in the future. But only a remnant of Israel will have part of this. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23 now. Jeremiah chapter 23. And we will find here what God thinks about the people that were supposed to take care of his people. Woe be unto pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, says the Lord. Therefore, thus is the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you evil of your doings, says the Lord. God didn't think too much about the pastors of Israel at the time of Jeremiah. He simply said, they are not any good. But in the future, God is going to send different pastors. Jeremiah chapter 3 now. Back to Jeremiah chapter 3. If you pick it up here from verse number 15. And I will give you pastors according to your heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now God told Jeremiah, it will not be necessary to observe the Ark of the Covenant. Verse number 16. Now this is prophetic. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, they shall say no more the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall it remember it, neither shall it visit it, neither shall it be, that be done any more. This is spoken of 500 some odd years before, actually about 600 years before Christ. They still had the Ark. They still had the temple. And God said, now, in this new future, where you had a remnant, the first covenant would not be there. It would be a different covenant. And we now know it as the second covenant. The covenant between God the Father and God the Son. And that's a covenant that we will have in the future. Verse number 17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all the nations be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil hearts. God is simply saying here, Jerusalem is going to be the center in the world. Jerusalem today is a cup of trembling. Satan set it up. They tried to build a kingdom without the Messiah. But this is referring to the thousand-year kingdom when a remnant of Israel shall be there. Verse number 18. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. They shall come together out of the land of the north, to the land I've given for an inheritance unto your fathers. God is saying this, I am going to take the 10 northern tribes, I'm going to take the 2 northern, southern tribes, and I'm going to put them together, and we're going to have Israel, 12 tribes again. How is that possible? Well, for years, no one could figure that. But today, as we have mapped out the DNA, and now they got companies, if you want to find out where your ancestors come from, you pay some money. And they can tell you if you came from Europe, if you came from Africa, if you came from China, whatever you came from. Matter of fact, it is so precise today that they can even tell you what province, what city you came from, your ancestor came from. That's how accurate the DNA is. Well, God created it. He has super technology. And he knows right now where all the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel are. They might be scattered all over the earth, but through DNA, he knows where they are. They might not know it themselves. You might be a descendant, you don't even know it. But God knows it. Why is he going to do that? Why is he doing this? Because he promised Abraham that he will take his seed, and he gave a promise to Abraham that his people would be blessed. Generations lost, but Abraham will have a remnant. I'm going to skip Ezekiel chapter 37. It is simply saying the same thing where God prophesied to Ezekiel that the 12 tribes would come together. But I'm going to go back to Jeremiah 3:19. We are Jeremiah 3. So I'm going to go to number 19, verse number 19. It's Jeremiah 3:19. But I said, how shall I put you among the children, give you a pleasant land, a goodly heritage to the host of nations? And I said, you shall call me my father and shall not turn away from me. Today, those of us who are Gentiles, those that are Jewish, God is saying this, come to me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Call me Father. Come back. And I will minister to you. You shall call me my Father and shall not turn away from me. Today, you that are saved, praise God, you can call Father. But what about those that are living around us? They don't have salvation. We need to reach them. Verse 20. Surely a wife treacherously departed from her husband. So if you dealt treacherously with me, or house of Israel, says the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel. For they had perverted their way, and they had forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the mount of the mountains. Truly in the Lord, our God, is the salvation of Israel. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, the flocks of the herds, the sons of the daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covered us. We have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even to this day, have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Jeremiah, he was actually killed by the Jews. He kept prophesying. They got so mad at him. The tradition says that they put him on some kind of a board and took a saw and saw him a thunder without anesthesia. You can imagine how painful that must have been. Jeremiah never saw the people turn back to God. He died with a broken heart. He preached, he prophesied, and no one listened. Today, I'm one of the pastors, the other pastors out there. We need more pastors to begin to preach. But I want you to look upon a summary here that I made for this message, because I want you to think. The majority of the Israelites were the 12 tribes who lived during the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah, died in their sins, and went to hell. For more than 2,718 years, generation after generation of Abraham's descendants have lived on earth, rejected Jesus as Messiah, and went to hell when they died. Only the remnant came to Christ over the centuries, and this will hold true for the waning days of the time of the Antichrist. The modern day Jewish leadership laments over the fact that 6 million Jews died during World War II. But they are criminally negligent for the fact that hundreds of millions of descendants of the children of Israel have died in their sins and are now in hell. All the Jews that died in the concentration camps, most of them were not saved. They did not know Jesus. It's a tragedy that they had to be uprooted, taken to concentration camps, manhandled by the Nazis, and then killed, and went to hell. Can you imagine? I really want you not to wrap your brain around this. Can you imagine some of these Holocaust people, skinny, suffering, and then finally dying, and they realize angels coming, picking them up, and taking them to a worse place than a concentration place. Hell. And they must have said, wait a minute. What's going on here? I'm a Jew. I done this and that. We're not supposed to go here. And the angel says, you rejected the Messiah, and therefore you are lost forever. Can you imagine the Jewish people cursing in hell right now? They're rabbis. Can you imagine they cursing their rabbis? You da 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 da. You deceived us. And yet, the Christian scientists today are saying we got to give money to Israel. We got to get these people to get help in there. Don't talk about Jesus. God has a different plan for them. God has no different plan for them. There's only one plan, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a shame that so many of God's chosen people are going to be cast into the lake of fire. This is a great tragedy that few Christian pastors understood and dare even to speak about it. Let's turn to Matthew 16:26. Matthew 16:26. Jesus said this, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Do you realize that the majority of the American people that have lived in this country died without Christ? Most Americans were never Christians. We had a lot of Christians here. But the majority of Americans today are not born again. That's the way it has been all the time. We had revivals. We had more Christians coming in. But the majority always were not saved. And they are in hell today with all other nations that rejected Christ. And what did they gain? They might have had a good life here. They might have had good money. But what does it matter if you have lots of money? You got everything you need, cars and airplanes and whatever you want. And then you die. And you end up in hell. And then you're looking forward to the lake of fire. What did you have? You got nothing. We have rescue missions. We have, okay, we got the Red Cross. We try to do good works. But what does it profit if we help people, but they still die in their sins and go to hell? What have we done for them? Nothing. July 9th, President Trump is going to announce his Supreme Court pick. I want to ask you that in the chapel today, those of you that are watching and listening later on, what are you going to do about this? Do you realize that the devil, the fallen angels, and all the demons are simply up in arms? And they're simply saying this, never, we are not going to have a conservative Supreme Court judge. We got Gorsuch. They slipped him in. But not a second one. We do not want to lose our sacrifices, 1.3 million children every year. They're going to rally the Democrats. They're going to rally the left. They're going to rally them all. And I want to tell you this. It's going to be a hell fight. What should we do? Here's what we can do. We should start praying right now. We should start binding the devil. You should simply say, I'm going to fast for the Supreme Court pick. I'm going to pray and fast when they do the confirmation in the Senate. I'm going to knock down the devil. I'm going to pray God to send angels to knock them down. If all of us Christians would pray and fast for the next 2 weeks, guess what will happen? We will get a man after God's own heart on the Supreme Court. But you know what? Most Christians are lazy. They don't think about it. They don't understand the spiritual battle. And so we do nothing. Will you at this time? Simple say this. If no one else does it, I'm going to fast 1 day, 2 days. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to say, God, please send angels. Knock the devil down. Knock the demons down. Knock the fallen angels down. God, knock these forces down. Lord, get your man there. Get your holy angels up there. Bring our man. Move upon the senators so that they vote the right way. That's what we need to pray for. That we have the ball right now. We can play ball. Because we can go to the throne room of God and change events in our nation.
Yes.
We talk about Judah. We talk about Israel. Now we are talking about us.
Amen.
We have a chance. Shall we take it?
Amen.
And that's what I want to leave you with. What are you going to do these next 2 weeks? If you're not saved, and you're watching me today and listening to me, and you says, you know, I really want to be saved. I'm scared. Here's what you do. Confess that you're a sinner. Say, God, I want to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross for me. That he rose on the third day. I believe that he took away my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Jesus, come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. In the name of Jesus. And he will. Now, if you're going to do that today, when we finish here, Charles Stratton is going to come on the webcast. You will not see him, but you will hear him. He will spend about six or seven minutes with you. And he will read scriptures with you. He will show you what to do. He will pray with you. And after that, write us and call us so we can help you and pray with you. To those of you that are saved, the majority of you are saved. I hope today that you stop and think, if we die in our sins, hell is next. It doesn't matter how much money we had, how famous we were, how many books you wrote, how many movies you made, whatever position you had, it means nothing. Would you today say, in 2018, my goal is to lead one person to Christ in 2018. Imagine what happened if you would do that. God bless you. I pray that you will fast and pray for the Supreme Court justice to be. In Jesus' name. Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today, Lord, and we ask your blessing on those that heard it, that they will be able to receive it and apply it, Lord. Thinking of the scripture, Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And 34, "Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Well, we thank you for the scripture, Lord. It tells the story that needs to be told. And we lift up the United States of America to you. And we thank you, Father, that we have been blessed in spite of the people, in spite of the leaders that have gone on before us. You know, there were no perfect men that ever walked on this continent or on the face of the earth except for Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father, for knowledge, understanding, truth. Your word says that we are to seek it out. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we lift up this United States to you, that and the world, because we have the unique position of being a light in the world. And we thank you, Father God, that Jesus will be glorified and people will repent and be able to receive the gift of salvation. And we want to say today that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. It is Jesus Christ. He is the one and only way. And that's the bottom line. So we thank you for that. We thank you that you would open the eyes to those out there that need their eyes open. And that's the masses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you,
how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the eighth part in the series, Prophet Jeremiah, and was entitled Fake Repentance. The people of Judah were married to the Lord, but they had turned to the devil instead. They were steeped in idolatry, but God was willing to take them back if they repented. God had divorced himself from the northern kingdom when he allowed them to be conquered and carried away into captivity. But her treacherous sister, Judah, had no fear of God and continued whoring while she pretended to repent. God told Jeremiah about a restoration that would take place sometime in the future when the 10 northern tribes would be reunited with Judah and Benjamin. Jerusalem would be restored and become the capital of God, and all the nations of the world will worship there. Jesus is coming back someday to set up his kingdom, but in the meantime, people are dying and ending up in hell simply because they were not born again. Hundreds of millions of Israelites chose poorly and died in their sins. They are now awaiting a shameful resurrection at the great white throne judgment, along with anyone else who rejected God. When will the Christian church wake up and make the gospel a priority? What a shame that so many people have perished. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1658. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.